Welcome to Field Notes, a production of the Prince William Sound Science Center.
So today I'm here talking to Sonia Batten about her work with the Gulf Watch Alaska program. Sonia, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Sonia Batten. I'm a biological oceanographer and I work with plankton.
Set the scene for us a little bit.
Gulf Watch Alaska is a group of scientists. Each have their own specializations and areas of interest. And we try and work together to try and build up a picture of how the whole ecosystem is changing year to year, within season, various levels of the ecosystem.
And how does your work fit into this picture?
What I do is I look at plankton, which is the bottom of the marine food chain. So pretty much everything in the ocean feeds on plankton or feeds on something that's eaten plankton already. So it basically supports everything. So we're looking at how that changes year to year.
And what are your methods when you're doing this?
We have a really interesting piece of equipment. It's almost 100 years old. It was invented decades ago, and it's towed behind a commercial ship, and it takes the plankton out of the water onto a piece of basically like a filtering net that's inside the machine. And so as the ship goes, it filters the plankton out, and after we get the instrument back, we can recreate the ship's voyage and look at the different types of plankton in different places in the ocean. And because it uses commercial ships, basically the sampling's free. One of the problems a lot of people have is that it costs a lot of money to put a research ship out in the ocean to collect samples. Well, we get that bit for free, so it makes us quite cost effective.
Are you on the ship every time it does this?
No, we don't have to have anyone on board. That's why it's really cheap, because there's no personnel time involved in getting the samples. It's all automated. The crew just throw it off the back once they're clear of the port. They have to pull it in after 500 miles to change the cassette inside with the filtering mesh, and so they do that three times altogether on the way from Tacoma up to Anchorage, and that's it really. It just runs itself.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
cool. So once you get the samples, what does your lab work look like?
Well, that's when the tedious part comes in, because plankton is made up of many, many different types of organisms, and the only real way to identify them is to look down a microscope. So when we get the samples back, you know, we figure out where each sample was when it was collected, and then we sit down at a microscope and we look and identify and count the different organisms, and then over time we build up a picture of what was where, you know, and how much of it was there.
So what are you seeing?
You can divide plankton basically into the plant plankton, phytoplankton, which are like the grass of the ocean. And then there's the animal plankton, which again is a huge number of different organisms. Some of them are the young stages of animals that live on the beach. So you might get young crab, young mollusks. And then some of them are animals that spend all their time in the plankton. Most people have heard of krill, so krill is a type of plankton.
Have you seen many changes in the last several years?
But certainly variability. You know, the last few years we've had very warm conditions in the ocean, and we see larger numbers of plankton that prefer warm water, so they usually live further south. We also see timing changes. So plankton, they're cold-blooded things. Their life cycles and their metabolism are all kind of governed by the temperatures they live in. So when the water is warmer, they may appear earlier in the year or for a shorter time in the year. So we see those kind of changes.
And what do those kind of trends indicate for the larger scale?
Well, we still don't know exactly what the impacts could be, but potentially if there's a fish species that is looking for food at a particular place at a particular time, it might not find it if the food was there earlier or later than when it's there. So there are implications for how the food chain works if plankton, you know, dynamics are different.
I think the last question that I have for you is more just about what has been the most exciting part of this work for you.
To me, the exciting thing is I don't know what's coming next, you know, and if I don't keep collecting the data, I will never be able to know what impact it's having. So it's kind of like it's ongoing excitement, I guess, rather than one specific thing.
That sounds great. If people want to know more about your work, where should they look?
Gulf Watch Alaska has a website, gulfwatchalaska.org. So that's a good place, and it's continually being updated and worked on, so there's always something new to see there.
Who is funding your research?
Actually, the whole project's funded by a group of organizations. One of them is the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council. Another group is the North Pacific Research Board. And then the Canadian Department of Fisheries and Oceans are also supporting it. So they each contribute a little bit to the program.
You have been listening to Field Notes, a production by the Prince William Sound Science Center. To learn more or to support this program, visit us on the web at pwssc.org.